Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
And welcome back, cowboys and cowgirls, to the Ingles and Ian podcast. I am not Jacob. I am Ian. And joining me today, in for Jacob, our fearless leader, the Chief, Micah Allen. How are you today, Micah?
I'm good. How are you? Starting a new semester and all that. How's that going?
Yeah. Taking a little gap semester, doing some stuff, mainly just watching sports, but hey, it's all good. And this week has been a pretty big news week for Oklahoma State.
Yep.
With various news stories that we'll dive into, mainly two, which have different like mood swings for OSU fans. One is really great and the other one is not great at all. How do you want to dive into this? Do you want to dive into the good or the bad?
Let's start off with the bad. Earlier this week, two Oklahoma State athletes, wrestler AJ Ferrari and track and field athlete Isai Rodriguez were involved in a car accident. Basically, what we know is that they are both in stable condition, but it was a pretty gnarly accident. Car caught on fire, all that stuff. It's kind of a miracle that they both are, considering the circumstances, okay. Oklahoma State offensive coordinator Casey Dunn was reportedly the person that pulled AJ out of the car. So from what we know, basically they were coming home from Covington and they got in an accident right outside of Perkins. If you've ever driven that stretch, that's a lot of two-lane roads. Basically what happened is they were trying to pass somebody on a two-lane road and got hit head on. So they are both, I believe, currently still in the hospital. Am I right on that?
AJ was released, according to Stillwater News Press, 6 hours ago.
Okay, so earlier today.
Yeah. I have not seen anything about Rodriguez.
Yeah. Okay.
But
AJ has been released.
AJ is out.
Which is good news. Good news. So that's our first story. Ian, do you want to dive into the good news?
Well, I'll say this. I'm going to correct you a little bit. It's Cushing and not Covington.
Oh, it's Cushing. Yes.
Yeah. I only say that because I did an internship this summer or last summer in Cushing. So I took Highway 33 several times going back and forth from Piedmont to Cushing. I don't recommend that, by the way. It's not a fun drive. But a lot of back roads. But yeah, they were visiting a youth wrestling practice in Cushing, and it looked like, let me pull up the ESPN article where it said, according to the Oklahoma Highway Patrol, Ferrari was driving his 2019 Dodge Durango on Highway 33 at about 8 p.m. when he attempted to pass three vehicles while cresting a hill. Ferrari's SUV hit an oncoming vehicle, then left the roadway to the left and overturned several times before coming to rest in a ditch.
Oh, they rolled. I didn't hear that. They rolled multiple. Wow.
That's what it says on here. The cause of the collision was passing in a no passing zone. And I'm trying to think of where that area is because all you can see is like the car. You can't like zoom out to see like the rest of the highway and
right
like what landmarks there. You're like, oh yeah, I know where that's at. But
well, and what's in, so I for in my day job I'm a news producer, and so I read a lot of crash reports, and that's gnarly. Now, what I would find interesting is, like, was it, like, honestly, it seems like some kind of miracle that Coach Dunn was just, like, in the area and saw the car. Like, that part's the craziest part to me, is, like, what was he doing in that area? Because that's not, like, a well-populated, just, like, a road that you drive all the time, right? Like,
yeah.
Unless, I mean, I don't know where Coach Dunn lives. Maybe he was driving home or something, but, like,
I don't know. It was around 8 o'clock, so maybe he left the office at that point. Maybe he's going on a cruising trip down in Perkins or something. Who knows? But
yeah, that's
crazy. It's amazing how he was just there.
Yeah, we're really glad that they're both okay.
Yes.
You know, thoughts with them as they continue to recover. You know, from what I hear, despite the fact that, you know, they both survived the crash and there were no major injuries, they still both have quite a road of recovery after the accident. So just, you know, thoughts with them and hope that they continue to recover and you know, it's not too hard on them.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about Rodriguez for a sec. I think they're heading into track and field season, right? So,
right.
I mean, he is last year he was an outdoor All Big 12, an indoor All Big 12, and a second team outdoor All America. So, I mean, I hope that he recovers great and that he's able to come back just in time, because this is his senior year. And, you know, he's from Ringwood High School in Ringwood, Oklahoma. So, I mean, you want him to go out, you know.
Yeah. Definitely.
Go out on top with all that. So I'm hoping they recover. Definitely. But yeah.
Well, and it's interesting. You can kind of tell how big of a deal this was, because both of the coaches held a press conference. You know, now granted, you know, they kind of just went through, you know, how they were doing. And, you know, just gave a little update, but still, like, for them to hold a press conference about this, it was a pretty major deal. So, just, you know, thoughts with them and their recovery.
Absolutely. And man, I don't know when Ferrari's going to come back. I don't know how soon this is. I mean, I hope he comes back for the, that big Iowa meet at Globe Life Field, because I mean, they're going to need him. So
yeah, definitely.
But yeah, he needs to focus on recovery, you know, doing his thing, like maybe lay low for a little bit, who knows, but yeah, just do his thing there. Now, the good news. I am really excited about this. Derek Mason, Oklahoma State's new defensive coordinator.
Like the orange smoke at the Vatican. We have a new defensive coordinator.
We have a new defensive coordinator.
And it's a good one.
I
was stoked on this hire. You know, we all kind of in our group chat, we kind of had all succumbed to, oh, they're just gonna hire from the inside. Mm-hmm. You know, we kind of had lied in that. And you know, ended up, they kind of, I mean, I wouldn't say this came totally out of left field. You know, we had heard some stuff that they were talking to him, you know, that they might hire him, but you know, for it to actually get, you know, made into a done deal earlier today, you know, that was massive news, and I'm really excited about it. You know, there was a tweet, you can talk while I pull it up. But there's a tweet that I saw that was pretty interesting.
This is a huge hire for Oklahoma State in many, many aspects. I mean, you pulled him from Auburn. Who knows what's going on in Auburn? Maybe they're about to burn the ships down there with Brian Harsin after 2 years. But he knows his football. He worked with Harbaugh and David Shaw in Stanford. He was on the opposite sideline in that 2011 Fiesta Bowl as an associate head coach slash co-defensive coordinator. So he knows his football. He's been around, originally was a cornerback at Northern Arizona, has worked his way, you know, through the ranks, coached at Vanderbilt, which, look, if you look at his Vanderbilt record, it's not the greatest. 27-55. But I will say this. It is hard to win at Vanderbilt, so I don't think that's his fault. He made two bowl games there in 2016 and 2018, both with 6-7 records. And I still love this hire. I think he's a good leader of men, and he just seems like a good guy. I saw there was a video of him like after he beat Missouri. And he was like, I am the man for this job. And he's very confident in himself. He seems like a great dude. And I'm so excited to see what happens here, because I mean, the big thing at Auburn was the defense's performance against Alabama, where they only gave up 24 points in the loss. Can you bring some of that SEC swagger into the Big 12?
And you know, so the tweet that I saw, I couldn't actually find the tweet, so I can't attribute it. I apologize. Aww. But basically the gist of it was, you know, if you would have told us 5 years ago that you would have multiple coordinators in the Big 12 that have been pulled from the SEC, we would have laughed, right? Like an SEC defensive coordinator going to the Big 12 was virtually unheard of, right? But I feel like the Big 12 has gotten to a point where the defenses have, you know, been stout enough and been impressive enough to, you know, catch the eye of SEC defensive coordinators of being like, oh, I want to coach there, right? And that's a big deal. That's a massive change in the past, you know, couple of years. So that's a big deal too.
I mean, it is, because it's not like he's going to OU or Texas, which could be considered, you know, better jobs. He's going to Oklahoma State.
Right. And right.
Because it's such a splash hire, it's just, I don't know. But I also wonder how long will he stay before he gets a head coaching job?
Right.
I don't know.
But I mean, we need to kind of pull back and be realistic with ourselves for a second. You know, how much would we, how long would we expect anybody? Like, as much as Oklahoma State fans, in my opinion, as much as Oklahoma State fans don't want to look at Oklahoma State as kind of a launch pad job, it's a launch pad job, right? Like, Oklahoma State is where guys come to hone their skills to eventually leave. Right. And to me, I don't necessarily think that that's a terrible thing like some people do. You know, I think the more impressive Mike Gundy's coaching tree is, the better. Right. Like, you know, if you have now, don't get me wrong. I want Derek Mason to stay for as long as, you know, we can keep him. Right. And I would have preferred to keep. Why can't I think of his name? Our last defensive coordinator.
Knowles,
yes. As much as I would have liked to keep Jim Knowles a little bit longer, you know, I think that, you know, creating talent and honing talent in order for them to go to, you know, the next level. I mean, because every job has, you know, the next step. Right. And so you don't expect somebody to be a coordinator for forever. But like you said, I do wonder how long, you know, is it going to be 2 years? Is it going to be 3 years? Is it going to be, you know, 10 years? You know, how long does he stay is going to be a big question, I think, too. You know, and the longer, the better. But, you know, I never want to blame people for moving on, I guess. But, you know. Yeah, I'm excited to see how long he stays and see what he's able to do for the time that he's here, for sure.
I think I'm looking at just Twitter comments about some people like Auburn fans who are kind of like, oh, y'all did Auburn a favor. Thank you. It's like,
really?
What are we doing here, guys? Come on.
Opposing fan bases always do that with coaches. And yeah. It's just why. Like,
I would say this.
Happy for your coach and move on.
I thought it was kind of funny how you forgot Knowles' name for a second. It's like,
I don't know why that escaped me. I don't know why just all of a sudden my brain was just like, I cannot remember his name. But yeah, so Jim Knowles, as much as I feel like he was just kind of, well, but at the same time, he was here for 3 years or was it four?
I think it was four.
Four.
If Derek Mason's here for four, that's great.
Right. Right. If he can stay for as long as Knowles did, that's awesome. If we get him longer, that's even better. Right. Is it though? Because sometimes coordinators will overstay their welcome, you know, and you don't want that. So, you know, I mean, just however long he's here, I hope he makes a big impact. And, you know, I think that getting an SEC coach is big for recruiting. You know, I think he's going to have a lot of contact in that area of the country, which will be good for OSU. And I think that, you know, I haven't really necessarily read much on him as a recruiter. But like I said, coming from that part of the country, I feel like he would have a lot of good contacts at the very least. So that'll be awesome as well.
I think what it says about him, like whatever he cause his last two college jobs were, Stanford and then, you know, Auburn, as far as coordinator jobs are concerned. I mean, those aren't, and Vanderbilt as head coach, those aren't necessarily, maybe Auburn, but those aren't necessarily blue blood programs. So he probably has, or maybe definitely has, the ability to find diamonds in the rough, which is what Gundy's all about.
Right. It's taking the guy that's a, you know, three-star and, mm-hmm. by his senior year, he's freaking all conference, maybe even an All-American. I mean, look at Malcolm Rodriguez. Yeah. Look what they were able to do with Malcolm Rodriguez. And I mean, I know that that's not Derek, or I know it's not Mason, but, you know, like you said, it's that conversation about fighting diamonds in the rough. I think that he's going to be able to continue that, hopefully. So that'll be awesome. Another big thing that I read about him today is, if you know, at this point this hire has gone through, you know, with the hire of Derek Mason, Oklahoma State will become the only staff in the Big 12 with minority primary coordinators on both sides of the ball, which I think is super awesome. I think that that's super, super great. And, you know, is that a little bit of Gundy saving face after what happened last offseason with the whole t-shirt thing? Maybe. You know, but at the same time, I don't think that's something Gundy would do. You know, I think it's awesome that we're giving these minority coaches opportunities at Oklahoma State. You know, and, you know, I think, you know, that's a big deal, right? And it's something that we shouldn't take lightly. You know, and now, granted, we don't know what's going to happen with Casey. You know, at this point, Casey is safe, but you know, you never know. But if everything stays the way it is right now, Oklahoma State will be possibly one of the only Power Five schools in the entire country that has two primary, that both their primary coordinators are minorities, which is
only Division I program to have both offensive and defensive coordinators that are African American. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at one of the tweets. Three programs have co-coordinators, but as far as like primary, that is huge. And maybe if Gundy is saving face, I mean, that's a pretty good job of saving face right there. I mean,
right. Like if it is, then yeah, then that's a good way to do it, I guess. But yeah, also, I agree.
At the same time, I feel like Gundy, I don't think Gundy kind of cares about that. He wants the best guy.
Right. So, right. He wants the best guy for the job, period.
They both happen to be
right. If they both happen
of color,
to be,
and that's great.
Right. So let's see. Is there anything else that you wanted to mention with Derek Mason?
Man, I mean, he's a cornerbacks coach. But he also has a background of being a receivers coach. So,
ooh, our backfield about to be lit.
Oh yeah, and he was a running back coach for 2 years at Idaho State. So, if he could bring some wisdom in there, I mean,
he has some experience on both sides of the ball. That's awesome.
Yeah, but with the cornerback position, and that's his specialty. I mean, he's a 2 year starter at Northern Arizona, and that cornerback room is pretty depleted with Bernard Converse going to LSU because of vet school. And then McAllister, who's a safety, he's going to go be a cornerback at Ohio State. Everyone else going to the draft. So now you have a young cornerback room.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And a young, you know, you're going to have new linebackers.
Kind right. Of. This defense.
Yeah.
I feel like next year, this defense, well, I guess next season, this defense is going to go from very experienced to very inexperienced. Well, not necessarily inexperienced, but they're going to go from majority seniors to some new guys. You know, and that's going to be a challenge for Mason in his first season as coordinator. And, you know, I guess we'll see if he's able to navigate that. But that's going to be really interesting to see is what that defense looks like next year with the combination of a new coordinator and, you know, missing a lot of talent from this past year. Obviously, you know, Brock Martin is staying, right?
He is staying. Evers is staying. And Trace Ford is coming back. So the defensive line is going to be just fine. Maybe
yeah,
there's
the line a, is going to be – the line will be – yeah, the line will be okay. It's that backfield.
A little concern in D-tackle, but I think they're probably fine.
Yeah. It's that backfield that's going to be kind of young.
And the linebackers too. I think Mason Cobb will probably take one of the positions. But do they run the same 4-2-5 defense, or does will Derek Mason bring in something different, like a 4-3 or 3-4? I don't know what kind of defense he runs. I'll check real quick. He also is the coach that brought in Sarah Fuller. So if there's any ladies on the soccer team that want to come kick, go for it, man.
yeah, definitely.
Why not?
Yeah. I would love that. I would. I mean, I almost cried when that happened with Vanderbilt. If that ever happened in Oklahoma State, I would probably shut up.
And you know, it's terrible. I didn't want to watch Vanderbilt, so I didn't watch.
Oh, no.
I saw the Twitter highlights. I was like, oh, nice.
Yeah.
But
that's cool, though. I didn't realize he was the coach when that happened.
Well, I think he got fired after, I think maybe after that game, but I think he coached one of the games because they played 9 games. He got fired after the 8th game. So yeah, okay. Right after that game, because they lost 41-0. So,
I mean, it's Vandy.
Yeah.
So what did you, have you found the defense stuff yet?
I'm trying to look up the team info. I can't find anything at the moment. He's had several defensive coordinators. I should probably look up Auburn, if anything. And that might be something I do down the line, but.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm definitely, like I said, I'm definitely interested in as to see specific, because I mean, I've always said that you can't really judge a coordinator till year 3. Because, you know, before that, they're not working with anybody that they – or they're not working with them until year 3, their defense is never going to be a majority of guys that they brought in, right? Yeah. But, You know, I mean, he's going to have some judgment, or he's going to have eyes on him, you know, and he's going to have people, you know, looking to him as, you know, what are you going to do to continue on? Because we were headed in a really good direction defensively at Oklahoma State under Knowles. You know, so it's going to be interesting to see how much of a microscope he's under as far as his first season. And, you know, I'm looking forward to watching what it looks like. You know, if he tries to kind of keep that Knowles defense, or if he tries to make it his own thing. You know, I think that Gundy tends to leave his defensive coordinators alone. You know, and kind of let them do their own. That kind of, you know, pushes it off, but he kind of just looks at it as like, that's your deal, that's your baby. Do what you want with it. So I don't know. I'm excited. I'm really excited about this hire, and I'm excited to see if that momentum that we've had the past couple of seasons, if it continues under Mason.
I think there's definitely going to be a step back, but people were thinking that, I think, regardless of whether or not Knowles was there.
Right, right. So, I think we were expecting a step back anyways. And, yeah. You know, I personally, whenever they hired Knowles, I was like, what the heck, what are we doing? And it worked out. So, you know, it just goes through that you never really know until you watch them. So yeah. I'm excited.
Yeah, I am too. I don't want to talk basketball,
so let's go ahead and talk about the Iowa State game. So Oklahoma State let me pull up the stat sheet real quick.
I mean, Avery Anderson went off, if you want to talk about that. I mean,
yeah, I mean, I definitely feel like there were things in this game that we can highlight that are good.
Yeah. I mean, it sucks when it's that close to the game, and not to mention Iowa State has like a 2.5-year road game losing streak, and they break it on your court. That's not fun to anybody.
Wait, so they haven't won a game on an opposing court in 2 years?
A Big 12 court. I'm sorry. Big 12 court. So, on the road. Road Big 12
games. ISU used to be so good. Man, how the mighty fall.
I mean, they're back. They got a top 25 ranking with this new coach that they got. TJ. I'm going to call him TJ. Coach TJO. Because he's got a pretty long last name that starts with an O from South. He was at South Dakota State, and now he's here. But, I mean, it was about Brockington from Iowa State and Avery Anderson from OSU. I mean, they were both shooting pretty lights out. And they were the key cogs in this game. I mean, Avery Anderson and Iceman were the only two in double digits. It's pretty significant when you.
Yeah, like, this team's offense definitely has taken a page out of the football offenses book.
it is not pretty, because the one stat that sticks out to me like a sore thumb is the 3-point field goal percentage.
Yeah, they just
7-24.
It's literally live and die by, you know, the inside baskets and free throws. Like, that's literally your offense.
And that's not even that good.
Right, right.
47%.
And when that happens, you're not going to win basketball games. And, I mean, part of it is, you know, obviously, I know if I was on this team, I mean, I never will be. I'm 4'11 and 3/4, but if I was, if I was a little bit taller, if I was a baller and I was on this team, I would find it really hard to have something with everything that happened with the NCAA in the offseason, with them, you know, getting the postseason ban and all that. I would find it really hard to have something to play for, right? Like, I mean, I know that, like, there's something inside of them that wants to play for their team, that wants to play for the name on the jersey, you know, but at the same time, it's like, how do you find motivation in a season where, you know, from jump street, you're not going to make it to the end. Like, you're not going to make it to your ultimate end goal. Right. Especially for these seniors, you know, it just sucks. But you know, regardless, they have had some big wins. You know, they had the win against the win against Baylor, the win against Texas. They lost to Texas in the second time they played them, but you know,
series, you're good.
Yeah. You know, and I think they're about to play Florida. That's going to be a pretty big game.
Big 12 SEC challenger going down to Gainesville. I mean, that's almost what I've seen about Florida, because I'm still in football mode. What I have seen is that they are kind of in not necessarily they're very close to a must win now mode. So right. I almost expect them to come out swinging and play desperate, which could either help or hurt OSU's chances of winning.
Right. Right. Going back to the game tonight, you know, you mentioned how Avery Anderson kind of went off. You know, I think it's important to note that there are really good bright sides to this team. Like, there are really good, really good little pieces of this team that I think are going to win Oklahoma. Like, Avery Anderson, Isaac Likely, Bryce Thompson. You know, he had a phenomenal game against Baylor. And you know, I think that this season is just kind of one of those seasons where you move on and forget, right? Kind of do it, play it day by day, you play it game by game, and you know, you're just trying to get through it, right? Because again, like I said, they're you're not going to March Madness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so your biggest, like, the best thing that could come out of this season is I'm not even sure. The last thing I read about it was that they were going to get to play, if they made it, if they did everything that, you know, required, they were going to be eligible to play in the Big 12 tournament. That's the last that I heard, is that Bowlesby said that he was going to let them play. So if that is the case, then, you know, you're just trying to get through your schedule, play a couple of tournament games, and just kind of put 2022 in your rear view, right? And look toward the next season, where, you know, this team has a chance to be really good. I mean, you're gonna, I believe after this season you lose Ice.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think you're probably losing Avery.
Yeah, he'll probably get drafted. But you know, you do have, you know, a couple guys that are coming up that I think will make this really good team. So again, I think this season is about just getting through it, right? Just kind of how we've all been living the past 2 years. Just get through every, just push through, right? And get to the next thing. And I think, you know, in today's game specifically, you know, they fought hard. They pushed, you know, it went into overtime and they just couldn't quite get it done. And those kind of losses are frustrating, but you know, you got to move on and get ready for the next one, which is Florida. You know, you can't dwell on it. You can't, you know, kind of wallow in it. You just have to move on and prepare for the next one, I guess.
You gotta keep on keeping on. And currently,
one of the interesting things about this game is that normally the Cowboys are a really good defensive team. They're kind of a shutdown defense. But in this game, they struggled with perimeter shooters, and Iowa State made 12 three-pointers. That can't happen. You can't let opposing teams score 12 threes.
Yeah, well, that was the other thing. Well, also, Iowa State, I'm looking at, I think it was Cody Nigel's tweet. Iowa State, four of the last four on their, like, current trends. And it says Oklahoma State field goals, zero of the last four. And, I mean – they got 60 shots off.
They're just not shooting like, well. Wow. I mean, and it's not, and it's what's interesting is from what I've been able to watch of this team, they're getting good shots. It's just not falling, right? Like the shots are shots that I don't blame them for taking, right? It's one thing if you take, you know, terrible shots and you're like, why are you shooting from there? You know, but they're taking smart shots. It's just not falling, and that sucks. But yeah, so, you know, they've got the Big 12 SEC challenge next, and we'll see how that goes. But 10-9, man, it's not looking great.
It is not, but I mean, good news is if they were to play, which that's news to me. I had not heard that Bowlesby was going to go ahead and let them play, which, I mean, if you want to make a trip up to Kansas City, like, go regardless. But
yeah.
As it stands, Oklahoma State would be one of those two Wednesday night games. They are 3.5 games back at the conference, and they're tied with OU, Iowa State they're tied for six. But they are also one game back at Kansas State, who shares the same record as them. So this
conference is insane. I'm just going to throw that out there right now. This conference is crazy this year. Like, it doesn't matter.
I feel like we say that every year, but it is insane. And I can't wait to see how they match up with the SEC. So I'm looking through the matchups now. There are some fantastic matchups. LSU, TCU, Oklahoma, and Auburn. Can you imagine if Oklahoma upset the number one team right now? Missouri and Iowa State, West Virginia and Arkansas, Baylor and Alabama, Kansas State and Ole Miss, Oklahoma State, Florida, the big one, Kentucky, Kansas, Mississippi State and Texas Tech.
KU, Kentucky is going to be
big.
I mean, I know that, like, Kentucky is not as good as they once were, and neither is KU, but, like.
Well, they're 12-5. They're both – Kentucky's 12, Kansas is 5 right now, so it's still a marquee matchup.
Right. Like, yeah, that's going to be awesome. Man, I'm looking forward to that too. That's going to be awesome.
One more thing. I think this game is coming up, but Chris Beard's return to Texas Tech, February 1st, 8:00 on ESPN2.
Ooh.
Lubbock is going to be spewing with hate, and I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Tickets are as low as $300 for this game.
Compared to for $300? Is that what you said?
As low as $300 according to ESPN. And
as low as $300?
As low as $300. The matchup above it. That's the
cheapest ticket.
That's the cheapest ticket according to ESPN. I'm looking it up right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Dang. I have never paid more than probably 70 bucks for a college basketball game.
Well, good news is for the top 25 matchup of Kansas and Iowa State on ESPN, no less, at 6:00, $39.
Wow. So basically that game is expensive because it's Beard.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
The hate, and they're both 15-5 right now.
Yeah. And it's not like they're not good teams.
I was watching them play Kansas last night. That game was so competitive and so much fun. Texas Tech's a fun team to watch.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed watching our game with them. Even though it didn't go in our favor, it was still it was fun to watch them play. Tech's a fun team to watch. Like you said, they're fun. But yeah, so this I have kind of just come to terms with the fact that this season just is going to kind of happen, right? Like, we're going to look back at the 2021-2022 Oklahoma State basketball season. We're just going to be like, yeah, that happened.
we'll just blame the NCAA for it. Like, it's the NCAA's fault.
Right. Like,
they didn't know. I think we're all okay with that.
Yeah. So, Is there anything else that you wanted to kind of touch on before we close out?
I don't think so. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening to Ingles and Ian. Thank you to Micah Allen, the fearless leader, for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. And as always, go Pokes.